and go to Psalm 100. Yeah, let's see, I've got everything apart here. Okay. My thoughts are a little bit scattered this morning in different places, so we'll see if we can kind of sew these all up together here this morning and come to the place where I guess what I have today is more of a message than a teaching, and I hope that the message will be helpful to you, and that you'll be able to see yourself in what we have before us today, okay? And so you bear with me if this is not as polished as I would like this to be, but I hope that you'll catch the gist of everything. Psalm 100, we're going to set the table here, okay? We're going to set our table here, and we're going to take a little run through a couple of other scriptures and see if we can't gain from the exercise. Psalm 100 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It's he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." I want you to focus in on verse 2 of that psalm, where it talks about serving the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. One of the themes this morning, or one of the things that I want you to be considering, is service. Serving. And your role in serving. I want you to be thinking about that. This is a commendation and a command at the same time in this particular verse here. Serve the Lord and to serve him with gladness. Now, I want to take you back into the Old Testament for a moment. I'm marrying two thoughts together today. 1 Samuel chapter 30. First Samuel chapter 30, this was a passage that was brought up to me and I was reminded of two Wednesdays ago as we had our study. And there's also a piece of that study that I want to bring forward into today as well. But 1 Samuel chapter 30, and we're going to read the first six verses of this passage here. And it says, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire." So Ziklag's a home base, okay? This is David and all that are following with him. This is their home base. This is where they're hanging out. "And the Amalekites had come and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way." So while David and his men were off campaigning, while David and his men were off serving, okay? While they were off serving, the Amalekites come in behind them, and they come into the city here. They come into the place where all of their belongings and all their family is, and the Amalekites carry away all of their family. Take all their stuff, and they haul everybody away. And one of the blessings here is it says that they slew not any. That they slew not any, which is really remarkable, which is really a blessing. Because if you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 27, it talks about there that when David went against the Amalekites, that they killed everybody. When David went against the Amalekites and campaigned against them, they slew everyone at that point. But the Amalekites come in and they carry off all the family and all the stuff. So David and his men come to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. And then goes on to say, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So what you have here, you have this great campaign that has gone on. They've come home and they find everything in ruins, everyone that they love carried off, all their stuff taken and carted away. And then, as the lot of leadership oftentimes is, leaders often get the blame for things that take place. And the whole group of people, the whole group there, turned to David and looked at him in that way and blamed him basically for everything that had taken place, and because they had lost their families and lost their stuff. And there was big talk of just going ahead and killing him. And in the midst of all of that, in the middle of all of that, it says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Oh, yeah. That there wasn't anyone there to encourage him. That there weren't people coming up to him saying, you know, it's all right. It's going to be okay. We'll get through this. All that sort of good stuff that generally happens or sometimes happens. But instead they said, you know, we think that you're probably the one that caused this and you're to blame, and I think we ought to stone you. And so he went ahead and encouraged himself in the Lord. Let me say this about where we started with this and where this we find it, where we find ourselves here. Serving is sometimes hard. Yeah. And I'm not just talking for leaders. I'm just talking about service in general. Because along with a great leader by the name of David on this particular campaign, yes, he led his troops, he led his men into the campaign, he led his men into battle, but you know what? His men went too. And his men served right alongside of him. There's leadership and rank and file serving right alongside of each other, and when they get back, there's all kinds of things that have gone wrong, right? And so they come back to a mess. Serving sometimes is hard. We see that in church work, that serving is sometimes hard. Because even when you do the best you can do, sometimes somebody wants to stone you over it. Huh? Not everybody appreciates the effort of everyone, do they? And sometimes if that continues, then people can get down on each other and all kinds of bad things then can get moving around. And next thing you know, you're up for stoning. Serving sometimes is hard. Especially if you don't keep it in perspective. Especially if you don't keep it in perspective, okay? We are commended and commanded over in Psalm 100 to serve. That's what it tells us. It tells us that we are to serve. That in itself is a slap in the face of the natural man. You hear me? The natural and the carnal man, to them, that's a slap in the face. Them's fighting words right there. Okay? Serve. Because the natural man and the carnal man, they operate in the big I. It's all about me and all about what I want to do and how I want to do it. And in order to serve, there has to be humility. You have to humble yourself. You have to go with somebody else's plan sometimes. You have to go with somebody else's way and somebody else's stuff sometimes to be able to do that. That's why you don't find many carnal Christians. That's why you don't find many unspiritual men, natural men serving in God's church. Because eyes don't bend so good. Eyes want to stand up and holler that eyes important. And I have other things to do, and I have better ways, and I have more important stuff to be involved in within this stuff that is over here. But the Lord doesn't say stuff like that. He says, serve me. Serve me. Serve me, he says. We talked here the other day about, putting first things first. It was on this last Wednesday. We took a lesson out of Haggai, the first chapter there, about getting first things first. The Lord wants to be served. He doesn't need to be served. He wants to be served. He desires to be served. He wants to know what your heart is, and your heart is told by what you do. But in the message that we looked at on Wednesday with first things first, there was a group of people that got sent back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple and rebuild the walls. And they went back, and for 14 years, they did nothing but build their own house. And they built their house real nice and fancy, and it was real pretty. And so God sent Haggai, and he sent Zephaniah, and Malachi to talk to the people and tell them, you're not doing right. You've forgotten my house, and you've been dealing with your house first. My house needs to be in first place. And he said, I've been trying to get your attention for 14 years, and everything that you put your hand to has been doubly hard because I've made it hard for you, because you're not seeking me. You're not doing what I want done. You need to be about putting first things first, which is my house. Put my house first, he says. Where's his house this morning, by the way? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. There's his house right there. You see, put the house first. Put where he has put his presence first. We are to serve him. He is in the house. He desires to be served. He needs to be in first place. And he said, first build my house and then build your house. And so many of us today are doing the same thing that they did so many years ago, building our house and forgetting his house. And then he gives them the remedy. Got a sense of humor. Read the chapter. He's got a sense of humor about it. He tells them, here's how you fix that. Here's how you go about getting things going in the right direction. He said, here's the formula. He said, go to the mountain, get some wood, and build my house. Now, what that's talking about, service. It's talking about serving. He said, the way that you build God's house is by serving. You serve. It's not glamorous sometimes. It's not pretty. It's toilsome. It's hard. It is thankless. It is all of those things. But he says it's worth it, and it is fruitful, and it is necessary for you. Necessary. But the eyes don't bend too good. The eyes don't bend so well. We got everything. We get everything out of order, out of whack, and all of that sort of thing. Service is a foreign concept. We don't want to serve or do the extra things. I'm doing what I need to be doing. You know, the next part of that phrase in Psalm 100 says, "Serve the Lord." You think that first word, "serve," was fighting words? You put the Lord on the next part of it, buddy. Them's fighting words right there to the natural man. Them's fighting words right there to the carnal man right there. What do you mean, serve the Lord? I serve. You know, there's a lot of people that serve king and country. There's a lot of people that serve knowledge and art, stuff like that. Willingly want to serve things like that. But boy, you throw the Lord out there, them's fighting words to a lot of folks. What do you mean, serve the Lord? I'm going to serve an imaginary being? Huh? What I want to do something foolish like that for? Why would I want to do anything like that? Them's fighting words. Now, to those of us that are saved, those of us that are redeemed, boy, that takes on a whole different meaning, doesn't it? because it tells us that we are commended and commanded to serve, and that we are to serve the Lord. You see, David was under orders. That's what people don't really get sometimes. They don't see David being under orders. David wasn't out there advancing his own kingdom and his own agenda. David was out there doing what he was supposed to be doing. He was under orders from his great God and his great King, and going about that business as best he knew how to go about it. He was under orders. He was serving. And so he wasn't looking for affirmation from everybody that was sitting around in the camp that day. And when talk of stoning him and all this tough talk started coming up, that's what didn't tear him plumb up. Because he just went back to the source. He just went back to the King. He just went back to the Lord and encouraged himself in the things that the Lord had already told him and the things that he had already laid out for him. And he revisited those things and he got back on track. And the next thing we find is that he gets back up and his men follow him and they go back into the campaign and they recover what was taken from them. They got up and they served again. They got up and served again. There's so many times that we get the idea, or we get tired, or we get whatever, and we think that our service needs to be interrupted. Well, sometimes there are things that interrupt our service. But I'll tell you this, if you go back and talk with the Lord about it, He never relieves us of our obligation to serve. He never releases us from service of some kind. Service is always something that He desires us to be involved in. He wants us to serve. He wants us to serve Him, serve the Lord. And then the last part's the hardest part. He wants us to serve Him with gladness. Gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Boy, we got a lot of folks that'll serve the Lord, but boy, with gladness, that's a toughie. Huh? Yeah, it's kind of like this morning in here. There's a lot of folks that come in here and into a worship service and act like it's like paying a tax or something. I come pay my tax this morning because this is what I'm supposed to do and this is where I'm supposed to be. But when the preacher says, and in conclusion, they are the happiest person in the building. Come pay your tax. I served. Yeah, I served Sunday morning. Boy, did I serve. I served the Lord on Sunday morning. I even came in and served on Wednesday night. Did I serve? But there wasn't much gladness in it. Wasn't much gladness. See, that's what happens when people get all mixed up about service and what the reason is for service. That's where the mess up happens in everything. Because we have natural thinking and we go about things in natural ways. We fight, battle with our flesh. We battle with everything that's going on. So we view things very fleshly. And we want to think about, you know, serving because we're constrained to serve. In other words, we need to serve because we got to serve. Because the Lord expects us to serve. We've got to serve. You know, we've got to do this. And, you know, I'm going to grit my teeth and I'm going to get it done because God wants me to do this. And what we misunderstand is that we're not under law. That we're no longer under the law. And we don't have to work to get our salvation. We don't have to work in order to please God with our effort. And so we come about it for the whole wrong reason with all of that. Let me see if I can find that right quick before I come back over here. Galatians chapter 5. chapter 4, verse 29. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And this is the idea that that many folks operate under. You see, that's talking about Hagar back in Genesis there. It's talking about Hagar and Isaac and the disputation that took place there when Abraham and Sarah took things into their own hands to bring about the heir of promise through Hagar, rather than waiting on God in His grace and in His liberty and in His mercy to make provision as He said He would do. And so there's the difference in law and grace right there, the difference in bond person and free person. When we try to push something or push things along, and God says, that's not what we're doing. You're not pushing to get to me. Listen, that access and that freedom has already been granted. That way is open. And so what I want you to do is I want you to serve because you love, not serve because you're going to get something out of it, you see. And so that's the whole big difference with all of that. Serving because we love, or serving because we're going to get something out of it. We're serving under law rather than under grace with those things. And I tell you what, when you serve under law, it's hard to be glad. Huh? It's hard to serve with gladness when you're serving under the law. The only way you serve with gladness is when you understand what your standing and your footing is before Almighty God. And when your footing and your standing before Almighty God is well understood and your heart is full to overflowing, your heart is brimming, it is easy then to serve, even though people want to stone you. Even though people aren't glad of it, of what you've done, aren't appreciative of where you are with things, because then it won't matter. It won't matter a bit, because my service is not for that reason. My service is because I love the Lord. Huh? Serve the Lord, and then to serve it with gladness. Boy, it'd be real easy this morning to step up in here and say, you know what? It would be real easy this morning to guilt you into something. Huh? All you folks that aren't serving, boy, bless God, you ought to be serving, man. It's a command and this and that and the other. But what are you going to get out of that if you do it for the wrong reason, wrong motive anyway? What are you going to get out of that? What are we going to get out of that? We're going to get a half effort. Yeah, we're going to get a half measure out of everything that you do, and it's not going to be worth it, right? So, we don't guilt people into stuff. That's not the way the Lord does things either, does He? He's very straightforward with things. He says, if you decide to follow me, it's going to cost you. You follow me, it's going to cost you. It'll cost you time and effort and money. It's going to cost you all of that for sure. But it's going to cost you more than that. In fact, some of you, it's going to cost you your family. Some of you, it's going to cost you your life. He was very plain about telling folks it's going to cost them dearly to follow after Him. He said, don't come in here because you had an emotional hiccup of some kind. You come follow me because you want to give your life to something. Don't come in here thinking it's all going to be a bed of roses and everything's going to go just perfect and run straight and true. He said, don't think that everything's going to be great when you come follow me. He said, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be big trouble for you. Let me say the same thing about that as far as service as well. You can't serve thinking that it's going to make everything rosy. You can't serve thinking that it's going to be wonderful and great every moment with everything that takes place. You have to make up your mind about service. You have to make up your mind. Understand that it's going to be hard. It's going to cost you. That there will be conflict. Motives will be questioned. All kinds of things are going to take place. And you know what? Everybody that says that they're a Christian isn't a Christian. And everybody that says things aren't led by the Spirit of God. Amen? And you got to know that it's going to be hard. Which will take you back right back around to why are you serving in the first place? Well, I'm serving because I love the Lord. Because I'm supposed to. And because I'm glad to for what He's done for me. So I get to serve with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Last thing that I want to add to this, and it'll be in conclusion so that group can be happy, is in John. And this is something I want to remind you of as I've reminded myself of this week. John chapter 16, the latter part of the chapter there. It says, Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Sometimes you have to encourage yourself in the Lord in order that you can keep on serving with gladness. You have to encourage yourself in the Lord. Jesus here said, all of you guys are going to run off, and I'm going to be alone, or you think I'm going to be alone, but you know what? I'm not going to be alone because my Father and I are one, and we're in this thing together. These are the same kind of thoughts that I think David may have come upon on a day whenever everybody was against him, and he had cried his eyes out over everything. He cried his eyes out until he couldn't cry no more. And then it says that he encouraged himself in the Lord. And the encouragement that I think that he may have gained was, you're not in this alone. You're not alone. I'm with you. We're in this thing together. And that, my friend, is a great encouragement to have. When everything seems to be going south, when a fella can recognize and realize that he's not in this thing alone, that the one that saved him is the one that's with him, and that he can make a way where there doesn't seem to be any way, then friend, that's the time that he can move forward. That's when you can be of good cheer. That's when you can serve with gladness when you're not alone. Be of good cheer, he says, I have overcome the world. Things I've spoken to you, and me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Some of you have been hurt. Some of you going through messes. Some of you got things going on, don't know where what's up and what's down. You know what? I'm right there with you today. Messes all over the place with everything. Tribulation comes and tribulation goes, but what it cannot do is it cannot take the joy. It cannot take the gladness. It cannot take the cheer away from us, because that is indelibly etched in your soul if you're a child of God. That cannot be taken away from you. And you have to realize that. You have to get it. You have to realize it. And you can't quit, and you can't just lay there and cry forever. Sometimes you got to get up and get back to about the business of serving with gladness everything, serving with gladness the Lord who is everything to you. Amen? So I want you to get back up if you've got down. I want you to understand that God's trying to work something in you that He can't work any other way through what's happening in your life. You know, He got David's attention, and He got a whole bunch of attention, of his men's attention back in there. And boy, the celebration that they had after everything was said and done, I would have liked to have been at when all of that came about. But it wouldn't have never come about if they'd have kept laying there crying in their beer. They got up, and they got about the business. They went to the mountain, got some wood, and they built the church. That's what they did. You just get up, and you get moving, and you get going in the right direction. A little term for tribulation there I shared with the folks a couple of Wednesday nights ago. It was a new concept to me as I began to study that word during that time. And it released something in my mind that has been very helpful the last week or two. And the idea of tribulation, I don't really know what I used to think tribulation was and where it came from, but there's it's a beautiful word picture that is used there in this same John chapter 16. There is a thing called a tribulum. Now, we're talking about a farming economy, a farming atmosphere in which John 16 was written there. And the idea of a tribulum. A tribulum is, there's a couple of different types of tribulum that were used in the day, and I'll explain one and then the other. But a tribulum is like the poor people use one like a big old baseball bat. And that big old long baseball bat, a little heavier and thicker than a baseball bat, sometimes had spikes or stones driven into the end of it. And what they would do is take their harvest and bring the harvest in to a threshing floor, which was a hard floor, pounded hard by many feet, and they would spread the harvest out. And then take the poor folks would take their tribulum, which was that long bat with spikes or stones in the end of it, and they'd beat the fire out of the grain, the stalks and all, beat the snot out of it so that the grain would fall out of the plant. Now, the rich folks, they had a tribulum that was more like a sled, and take a beam of wood, however big they could carve one out, and however long they could make one, and a nice thick beam of wood, and into the bottom of that beam of wood, they would drive flint rocks into that tribulum. And on one end, place a harness with a rope from side to side, and then they'd put their crops down there and lay that tribulum down on it, and then they'd either have their ox or their helpmeet, wife, hook her up, and they'd drag that tribulum, that sled, around on the grain, on the stalks, so that it would crush the packing, the husk, and let the grain fall out. And so they would circle that tribulum around and around and around. The tribulum was the device. The process is called tribulation. So you have a tribulum that does tribulation in order to release something good and wonderful and usable, which is the grain. And so, as Jesus says there, that sometimes there's only one way that the good grain that is your life, the good stuff in your life, the things that He wants out here, there's only one way that that can get out here, and that's for tribulation to occur in your life, for the tribulum to be run around on your life, those good hard rocks to release the grain, the good parts of your life, you see. And so He says, be of good cheer. This tribulation that you've got here going on, there's a reason for that. There's a reason for these things to take place. We're going to release the good part of you. The only way I can get it out of you is to run over you real good with the tribulum, okay? But once I'm done, we can flip the rest of that stuff away and all the good stuff will be left right there. So, tribulation's coming. It's there for a reason. It's there to help you. It's there to grow you. It's there to make you usable, you see. And then He goes on and says, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world, which means that I'm with you. So you can encourage yourself in the Lord. What is going on with the tribulation and the things that are taking place, this process that God's using in us, is something that that ought to make you smile a little bit when you think of it that way. To think of it as God making something really good come out of me. Huh? Making something really good come out of me. Don't take it in a bad way. Take it in a good way. And then when you see, then this circle comes back around again. When you see that, it ought to compel you to serve with gladness. Serve with gladness. Serve with gladness. Not everybody's going to be happy about everything. But it's between you and the Lord, right? And so if we're going to stay on good terms, then I'm just going to keep serving. I just keep on serving with Him, okay? Because it's not about you, not about whether you think I'm doing a good job, or what. It's between me and Him. And we just keep serving, me and Him. I'll encourage myself in Him. You encourage yourself in Him. And you keep serving, and you serve with gladness, and just keep on, and keep on, and keep on. Not because you're trying to gain heaven, not because you're trying to get Him to do something He wouldn't otherwise do, but because you love Him, and you trust Him, and you trust in Him, that what He's doing and working in your life is working, and that it's releasing the best part of you so that you can continue to serve and serve with gladness. Amen? Service, that's what I want to talk to you about a little bit today. Serving. Serving with gladness. Got too many folks that are laying around weeping. Got too many folks that are laying around being discouraged. Got too many eyes that won't bend. And God's looking for some folks that are just willing to say, He is the Lord of my life. He is everything. I'm going to serve Him. And I'm going to serve Him with gladness this day. How about you? How about you today? You on track? Are you on track with that? Or are you struggling with that right now? Have you let the tribulum and the tribulation process get you off track a little bit? Have you turned inward rather than upward? Maybe it might be time to revisit some of that process as well. Amen? You've been swell this morning. You've been swell. This is all based on something else, though. It's based on having a relationship with Christ, right? None of this is of any importance. None of this is of any effect. You can't even make good notes until you know the Lord. Huh? Because your notes, when you go back and look at them, they'll be flat as a pancake. They won't be nothing to you. All right? But when you know the Lord, you can go back and look at your notes, and it'll re-stir, and it'll bring back the things that you need to see, because there's a difference in spiritual and unspiritual. And the spiritual mind loves the Lord and wants to please Him, wants to go in that direction. The unspiritual mind can't wait to get out of here. And so, where are you at? Do you know Him? Do you know Him in the pardon and forgiveness of sin this morning? If you don't, I'd sure like to talk to you about it. I'd sure like to take the Word of God and show you how you can be saved and know it this morning, and make your life count for the one that loves you the most. I'd love to be able to do that. Would you be honest with it? Would you be open with it? Would you be willing to respond? I would hope so this morning. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much, Lord, for each one that's in the room today. I thank You, Lord, for, Lord, the way that You work and the way that You move. I thank You, Lord, for, Lord, accepting the service that we give You. Lord, I know You don't need a thing. Lord, You own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Lord, you eat when you want to eat. You eat what you want to eat, how you want to eat it. Lord, but You accept service from us. What an honor it is for us to be able to serve You, even knowing that You don't need us to serve You. What an honor it is to be able to do that. And so, Lord, I pray that You might impress upon us, Lord God, how great an honor that is and how wonderful that process can be of being a willing bondservant rather than a chained up slave to the law. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to drop the shackles of one and to gladly put our neck in the yoke of the other. Lord, that yoke of service, Lord God, that can bring gladness in and of itself. Help us, Lord, to be thankful for the opportunities that we get. And, Lord, to be thankful for the reception of the service that we provide when we provide it with the right heart. And so, Father, now I just want to commit the dear folks to You. Lord, I pray that You'd help some that are going through tough times to understand what these tough times are about. And, Lord, for those that are sidelined because of whatever, I pray, God, that You'd just move whatever out of the way. And help folks to get back to serving you with gladness. Lord, I commit this way and this day to you, and I pray it in Jesus' name and amen.